Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
In 1985, this man, he was offered a place at both human and veterinary medical schools on the same day. He chose a course for his life to care for animals. Now he is the super vet, really well known from the Channel 4 series and his best-selling books. And he's on a new mission to celebrate dogs and their humans. Originally from County Leash, now based in his world-class animal clinic in Surrey, England. A warm welcome, Noel Fitzpatrick.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much. And I feel the warm, cuddly glow from I haven't got the whole book, but I've dipped in and out here and there. And it's a gorgeous thing. It's called Dogs and Their Humans. Isn't that what that's what you went for?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I think. Well, the intention, Oliver, is to spread a little bit of love in the world. And I see that every day through dogs and their humans in my consulting room. So I just wanted to radiate that out into the world and hope that people find that light too.
You like to say and tell us that dogs make us better humans. How?
That's a great question, Oliver. Aren't you the insightful reviewer?
I could do this in credit.
I think that humans allow us a safe space. They allow us a space within ourselves where we can be ourselves. There are many stories in the book about rock stars, royalty, and people who are very, 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 very far from that.
Yeah.
But regardless of who you are, you're still stooping down to pick up the poo. You're still feeding them. You're still having their tongue lick your ear. And they don't care who you are. They care what you are. They care what you are inside. They care, are you kind? Are you generous? Are you giving? Are you in the present? Are you being of yourself in that moment? And I think that it is in the essence of our true selves that we become our best if we allow ourselves to be our best. And in those moments, we are. So in that sense, that's why I think dogs make us the best version of ourselves.
And you talk about the unconditional love. Those of us who have known and felt this love will hold it inside us forever. So much so that a dog isn't just home. A dog is home.
Yes. Yeah, I think that in my life, I have seen people suffering from terrible diseases, mental and physical. I've seen people down on their luck. I've seen people going through all phases of life. And more than once, in fact, many times in my career, I have faced life or death decisions most days. I mean, I'm in my practice now, and downstairs there are life and death decisions being made right now. And nearly everybody, the essence of why they're here to see me is hope. And what they often say to me is, I want to go home. In the generic sense of home is where the heart is. Home is where that love is. And for pretty much everybody that comes into my clinic, home is where their dog is.
Tell us about Kira.
Ah, yes. Well, I'm in my office in rural Surrey in England, looking out across a garden towards a small white gravestone on which her name is written. So she has passed. But has she? I see her light every day. I think that if love is strong enough, it transcends space and time. And I don't think that we die if we can fall in love forever. So Kira was the love of my life. She was a little border terrier who kept me company for 14 years through the ups and downs building of the practice. As you said in your intro, you know, I came from a farming community in Ireland of which I'm intensely proud, and I am very emotionally still connected and earth is to the animals and to my origins in Ireland. And Kira reflected every part of my life, all of those origins and all of the future. And the future for me has been to try and build the best world I can for animals, because I think we owe them a fair deal in return for all they give to us. And after all, we're all in it together. So Kira was my best friend, my confidant, and we were in life together, side by side.
I mean, just the way you describe her in the book is just extraordinarily gorgeous tribute. She was 14 years, she was killed actually on the grounds of your clinic.
So what happened was, unfortunately, a delivery van came into the yard too fast and hit her as I was just literally walking from my office to my car.
God.
And it was intensely traumatic because she was my best friend in the whole wide world. But actually, no, she lived a year after that. We operated on her twice. She had major internal injuries and major skeleton injuries. And to be honest with you, Oliver, it's quite something when you have to step up to the plate to operate on your best friend. Because I trained my whole life for that moment,
mm-hmm.
and her life was in my hands. One millimeter false move and she was dead. And we did save her on that occasion, right. And she lived another 11 months and then unfortunately had a cardiac arrest. And again, it's quite something when your best friend has a heart attack to cut down on their chest and massage their heart and feel their heart passing neath the touch of your finger. But it does put you in touch with something that is eternal and ethereal and something that transcends our normal everyday worries. And what I would like to say to people through this book, Dogs and Their Humans, is that when we're in the presence of that unconditional love, the love where a dog doesn't judge us and allows us to be in a safe space to be ourselves, regardless of our mental, physical state, whatever, that's an incredible connection to why we are human at all.
Yeah.
And what Kira has taught me is how to be humble, how to be kind, how to be at peace. And in many ways, she saved my life in that regard, regardless of the stresses of life. There's always that love to be at home with.
And this is primarily, I presume, why you don't use the term dog owner.
Yes. I don't believe you can own love. You wouldn't say, well, I own my girlfriend, my boyfriend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always been like that. It's just the way I see the world. I have said dogs and their humans as a little bit of irony because they don't see it that way either. You're their companion. I am her companion. Right now, I have a giant Maine Coon cat called Excalibur on my knee, and he is my friend. And Ricochet is the other cat who is sitting here beside me, and he's like, Dada, why are you not rubbing my belly, and
that's
why are you talking
name.
To this fella?
Ricochet.
Yes.
Is it advisable to get another dog when you love that deeply the one that has passed?
I would say yes.
Hmm.
But I haven't been brave enough, to be honest with you, Oliver, because I have felt so deeply emotionally for Kira. I haven't yet been brave enough. And also, I would say, as I say in the book, it's the greatest blessing that I have had in my life. And I would encourage people to have it in their lives. But also, a dog is a responsibility. I know it's a cliche that a dog is forever and not for Christmas. I totally agree with that. But because you need to take a dog for a walk. And let me tell you, Oliver, if I'm in theatre for 10 hours, a dog will have his legs crossed trying to wait for a pee. And I would need help to do that. So if you're taking on a dog, you need to make sure that you can give them what they need in their life. And then I can assure you, you will get what you need in your life 1 million times over.
Wow. The work you do is astonishing. You're called a super vet for a reason. And the procedures, the surgeries that you kind of describe in this story, they're cutting edge, aren't they? They're world class.
Yeah. So this book is supposed to be a book anyone can read. Anyone who knows me, who's read my three previous memoirs, can just skip the introduction and go straight to chapter one, because I think it's very funny. Now, you'll be the judge of funniness, because I'm not. But you are. So I would encourage people to read. The first few chapters are actually, I think, very funny. They made me laugh when I was writing them, let's say. But I also wanted to weave into the 300 or so pages of the book messages that mattered. I say a lot about what I think about the state of medicine in the world, what I said about a fair deal for animals, what I feel about my profession, what I feel about the juxtaposition, the tug of war between money and delivery of service. I say quite a lot about that. I've striven to stay independent all my life, and I've striven to develop procedures that will elevate the bar and make things better for animals, because I do not believe that they should be giving us the solutions for our illnesses through implants and drugs in research when they don't get it themselves. I do not believe that that's fair. That's the concept of one medicine to which I have dedicated my life through my charity, Humanimal Trust. Anyway, to answer your point, yes, there is woven into those stories the solutions which we have found, some of which are comical.
Well, we'll talk about Frankie. So tell us about Frankie, who was very ill when Frank was brought in. Frankie's a little Westie.
Yeah, was Frankie the one with the neck problem?
The belt that was inside. There was a suspender belt.
My goodness, you're launching straight in with that?
Well, you said
my goodness, you're a brave man.
People would enjoy the funny stories at the start. So I said, yes, you.
Oh, my goodness, Frankie the Westie and the belt. All right, listen, I'll put it in terms of as politely as I can, shall I, Oliver?
Yeah, sure, look at, we're grown-ups here. We've given them fair warning now. Go on.
We've given them fair warning. All right. So this is a great... You're quite right. So, good pick. Yeah. So Frankie was a Westie that came in to see me when I started out in practice here in the UK. I wasn't long here. I was still cutting my teeth. Was feeling, you know, pretty raw. I mean, I come from large animal practice in Ireland. Didn't know that much. But a dog from West Highland White Terrier came in trying to puke, trying to reach up something, trying to get it out. Yeah. And came in a Bentley, a very expensive car. A very well-dressed lady stepped out of that car holding Frankie, and her rather haughty and aloof husband stepped out beside her, screaming for a vet he was, and she was very polite and timid, and the poor dog was trying to vomit up something, so I said to him, look, I'm going to have to make him puke. So I made him puke, and the West Highland White Terrier on the garden in front of the practice brought up a red suspender belt.
Hey.
At which moment, his wife turned to him and said, that's not mine, George. And divorce happened within seconds. So the haughty man was rapidly brought to his knees by his canine friend.
Oh, there's nothing like the truth of animals. Welcome back. We're still here with Noel Fitzpatrick, the super vet. Noel, we have lovely messages from around the place. I'll give you this one from Joan. Noel and his oncology team saved my dog Cookie when nobody in Ireland could help him. Cookie became the first Irish dog to undergo prostatic embolization in 2019. He gave us another glorious year of life with Cookie. We will be forever grateful.
Oh, that's very kind and very nice. Thank you.
Because it's all about that time. Isn't that what people ask you for all the time? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
Yeah, well, as well as that, Oliver, in all honesty, it's not enough to be able to do something. It needs to be the right thing to do. So I do talk about this a bit in the book. Amid all those funny stories, I talk about ethics and morals and when is the right time to say goodbye and when is the right time to fight for life.
And you have years of experience to judge on it. Noel, you speak the truth. We lost our darling Tilly some years ago. The connection she had with our daughter Abby was truly profound. Then we got Beauty, who passed 2 years ago. And my Welsh husband, I've never seen cry so much and swore he'd never get another dog. We got Sheba 18 months ago. And oh boy, so much love again. Animals give unconditional love. Thank you, Noel. And that's from Maria in West Cork.
That's very kind. I started out in West Cork in Dunmanway, so shout out to Dave Smith and his family down there, because they gave me a great start in terms of training. I've never worked with people who have been more in tune with animals than down in West Cork, so that's wonderful.
Dunmanway, the home of Sam Maguire. I'm sitting outside my car, outside the dog groomers, as our Westie Chelsea is getting groomed. She's 15 years old. The epitome of unconditional love from Tommy in Selbridge. That's a big age now, isn't it? Maybe not for that breed.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, Oliver, coming through, and what you'll find in these messages is this bond. If you talk, a lot of people don't talk about it very much, but if you do talk about this bond of love, people who haven't felt it are like, well, you know, it's a dog and so on. And I get that. I understand that. But, you know, we're just human beings. And what is it that makes us tick? Well, love. Home, something to go home to, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, a sense of fun in our lives. Dogs bring all of that, all of it into our world. And as is self-evident from your messages, that is what people are connecting to. And that's what this book is supposed to delve into and rummage around in and raise up and have it edified in our presence, because it is a wonderment. It's a wonderful thing.
There's also someone looking for advice here, Noel. Our dog is barking constantly during the day, middle of the night and so on. He's never done this before. The vet thinks he may have dementia and we have to have the conversation about putting him down. Is there any solution? Asks Finian.
So, interestingly, Oliver, I get this a lot, and people, so with total respect, I am not a behaviourist, but I do talk about behaviour issues in the book in the sense of we see them all the time. What I would say to that dear person is to, if it's appropriate, ask their vet for an MRI scan of the brain if they think that that is really appropriate. There's a story in my book about a Pomeranian called Bertie. And her mum, Bertie's mum, Cynthia, came to see me. And Bertie, she thought, was going to have to be put to sleep because he was screaming in pain all the time. And it turned out she'd rolled over on Bertie in the bed. And Bertie hated her, and she didn't know why Bertie hated her. And in the end, it turned out to be a problem in the neck that was fixable. And the only question she had for me wasn't, how complex is the surgery going to be, Noel? How much is the risk? It was, will Bertie ever love me again? So, fortunately, he did.
Surgery. He did. Okay, that's the happy ending. A serious question indeed. Here. What is your view on killer dogs? Asks Michael in Dublin 12.
Yeah, so again, I get asked all of these things in interviews, and I guess to try and put yourself in the position of a human orthopedic neurosurgeon, it's not a question that a human orthopedic neurosurgeon could answer. It's a question that a legislator would be answering. So I always got to steer clear of that because I'm not a legislator. I'm an orthopedic neurosurgeon, sadly.
And the laws have just changed recently on XL bully dogs, as we know, and that story has been well trod. Look, it's a lovely, uplifting tale, and you just want that sort of message to go out, don't you, to people?
Yes. Yeah, you know, the chapters in the book are about doing the right thing. They're about taking the lead. I particularly like those kinds of stories where a dog takes the lead with a guy who has lost himself, where there's a rock star in the book that falls down on his luck, and the chapter's called More Than Everything because his girlfriend showed him through the dog that, in fact, there was something more than everything that he had thought he had become. And there's stories in there about the Queen and all of that stuff that I think people will relate
there's
to.
There's loads and loads of entertainment. And I love it towards the end where you say, I hope this book reminds us all of how lucky we are to share our lives with dogs. They tell us daily that we are enough just as we are. Noel Fitzpatrick, it's been a pleasure. Dogs and
Thank
their humans.
Thank you so much, Oliver.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Dogs and Their Humans is the book that you'll enjoy whether you're into dogs. And if you're not, we don't understand you, basically. That's